The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com, helping Isle of Man companies and citizens to understand net zero targets and a green future.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Max Radio. In session till 1 today. Whatever's on your mind, we'll get to those pharmacy situations shortly. Just a quick word about the Sting Packet on Wednesday due to the forecast adverse weather sailing. Wednesday morning is 8:45 a.m. Ben McCree to Heesham is subject to disruption or cancellation. Now, a final decision will be made 7 o'clock on Wednesday morning, but if that's something that affects you, then obviously. You'll want to plan ahead, won't you? Because otherwise, well, who knows what will happen. So, you heard briefly Paul Crane, and I just want to look at this today. Just something I want to put in front of you, because it's kind of slipped underneath the radar with all the whole talk about us going to 100,000 population. And the government stated aim to put another 15,000 people into the system on the Isle of Man to take us from 85 to £100,000. 100,000 population. The author of the Isle of Man Population Atlas, Paul Crane, is a guy who knows statistics back to front, particularly regarding the population on the Isle of Man. And Paul Crane's issued a stark warning about the Isle of Man's growing population imbalance. Now, Paul Crane was relatively recently elected to LegCo. He's an MLC. But he says that ageing residents, migration among young adults, and importantly, a falling birth rate are all causing issues. Now, this affects you, me, and absolutely everybody. The population on the Isle of Man.
Unless there's movement into the island, unless there's an increase in births, the problem will increase in the years ahead, and therefore it is an issue that needs to be addressed.
Clearly then there's no quick fix to the problem, but would you see the fastest route to restoring this to a healthy balance is through a significant population increase?
We do need to have a significant change. You know, we're not going to solve this problem just by tweaking a few things here and there. So although over the last 40 years I've been studying the island's population, I've seen these proposals for large population growth, indeed the figure of 100,000 has come up now and again. I have tended to be opposed to that, my main concern being that if you have a period of growth of 1,000 people a year, what happens when you get to the end of it? You know, do you just then have economic recession when you try to reduce the growth or end the growth? However, in our current position, I would see the problems we have with the island's population profile are so significant that it would make sense to have a period of rebalancing where we're trying to bring in younger adults in particular, to bring in women of childbearing age, which sounds a terribly inhuman and impersonal way of saying it. You know, I'm hugely aware as a sort of demographer that this is about people, you know, it's not about statistics.
What do you think about this? That's Paul Crane. Now, I would hazard a guess there are a few people who know more about the population, the statistics of the population of the Isle of Man. As you heard, Paul Crane wrote the Isle of Man Population Atlas. He's been studying it for 40 years. And that's the issue, in that we basically need more babies. We need people of childbearing age. And as Paul Crane said, sounds a little inhuman, a bit distant to say that. But we need, if we're going to get this, we need more babies. The falling birth rate on the Isle of Man, we're not alone in this. The whole of Western Europe has got a crisis coming because of the falling birth rate, certainly in Italy, certainly in Spain, and in Britain too. So Paul Crane is saying if we're going to get to 100,000 pound and 100,000 population, do forgive me, and that is the government's stated aim, we need more migration in, less migration away, more babies, a bigger birth rate. Well, how do we square that? And again, what's the response? Where does the responsibility actually fall on the individual citizen on the Isle of Man? And what can we do about it? If you've got any thoughts on the matter, and you may be right across this, or you may have an insight into this, and we would really appreciate it. You can text on 166177, email studio@maxradio.com, call 66 1368, and the WhatsApp's on again on 166177. By the way, we've got a report in from Pat, just said St Ninian's Crossroads has suffered from a massive paint spill. There's some... are you around St Ninian's? Has there been a paint spill up there? If anybody's got a camera, they can just take us a photo of, just to confirm that. I'm seriously concerned about the students of the school that's allowing students to identify as cats, says Texter 770. These so-called cats are allowed to act like cats during class, and I think are very disruptive to normal students trying to learn. Is it true water bowls are being provided and litter trays for these so-called cats? 775. We've heard about this. Certainly, they call themselves fluffies. We'll try and find out more from the Department of Education. Routine prescriptions to Lloyds in Ramsey are never ready, says Texter 622. I ordered 10 to 14 days in advance, half an hour to queue, 30 to 60 minutes to wait for them to... recently I've had two operations and complications, and I needed prescriptions from the hospital fulfilling by Lloyds on the way home. Not available, says 622. Well, this whole situation with prescriptions just seems to be getting worse. Doesn't in any way seem to be getting better. There are reports that some pharmacies have got extra supplies. Some pharmacies are doing very well. But if you've got anything you can report on that, then by all means, do get in touch. Isn't it ironic the historic promenade was replaced by the new shiny version, but the historic nuisance building can't be replaced, says G on 813. Well. I just listened to David's point. This is a text in that came just after the show on Friday. I listened to David's point about closing applications for energy audits. And I read in the paper the government is going to be giving us insulation for free. Could the two things be linked? Says Jane in Bride. We had a lot of correspondence over the weekend, and I just have to say that whilst not everything may get read throughout the programme, because obviously telephone calls and sometimes take priority over the hundreds of texts that we get throughout the week. But everything is read, and I was looking at some over the weekend about correspondence, there were more questions about what the road tax is on electric vehicles. If you have an EV... Now, what's the road tax? Surely the road tax on a hybrid is different to a normal internal combustion engine, and for an electric vehicle as well. How did they organise that planning committee? Still more comment about last week and about nuisance getting refused planning permission. Who's responsible to the people who voted for them? The Isle of Man, I believe there is a zero road tax, says Malcolm, on EVs, which I think is completely unfair. Because everybody knows electric vehicles are much heavier and they wear out roads more than the internal combustion engine cars, says Malcolm. Is it done on weight? Well, certainly it's for commercial vehicles, isn't it? The legislation in the form of the Education Bill isn't in place to permit federation schools to be created. It's another example of the government doing its own thing. And a question in regarding the new headmasters, the two headmasters, one that's now representing three schools and one that's representing two schools. We've attempted to get in touch with the Education Department. As yet, we've not had a firm word on that. Do people not understand, says Gary, that the Isle of Man needs new businesses to make ends meet? And a note in from Peter, allied to that, about new business on the Isle of Man and the fact that the government wants us to get to 100,000. economically active people, presumably, although they won't all be economically active. And Peter just says, the Isle of Man has had non-stop growth since we nearly went bust in 1984. Well, I don't think we nearly went bust. It's just that there were 2,000 people out of work, and I think we were paying welfare bills month to month. But your point is taken. The government then at the time, Miles Walker and the rest of the politicians around then really got their act together. And the Isle of Man has had really non-stop growth from 1984. But Peter says there's a lot of politicians who don't understand what it's like when times are tough because they've only known the good times. They really need to talk to some of the politicians who were around in the 1970s or the 1980s to know what life was like when the Isle of Man was struggling. We're not struggling now, says Peter, but we do need business. We have to have business. Business creates jobs, pays tax, and puts money into the public purse. The problem is, says G, the people who are working can't afford to have children. Is it people who aren't working that are having children because the working people are paying for them? Is that your opinion, G? Do you think that? And a note in from 068, we don't want 100,000 people here. We don't have the infrastructure. And where are the jobs for these people? It's not workable. Also, says Texter 068, big populations don't create prosperity, only more problems. Can you tell us about that? Now, let's get to this pharmacy situation. And really what the answer is, heaven knows at the moment, but this is the Pharmacist Defence Association. Have you ever heard of these people before? The Pharmacist Defence Association, a union which represents pharmacists, says reports of patients having trouble obtaining medicines in the north of the Isle of Man are concerning. Now, the PDA has confirmed it's planning to write to the Department of Health and Social Care and Manx Care about the worrying situation. This is the Pharmacist Defence Association and the story about it.
Well, I've waited 3 hours, nearly four hours for medication that I haven't even received yet.
You can wait there for maybe half an hour, an hour. You get half your prescription, so then you've got to come back another day and wait another hour. You get to the stage where you think, I won't bother coming back for it, so you're not going to bother taking it.
The views of some residents in Ramsey there, which we brought you on Manx Radio just weeks ago. They said they were tired of waiting in queues, tired of their medication being out of stock or not ready for collection, tired of finding their pharmacies closed. And it was their comments which have sparked the Pharmacists Defence Association to assess the issue here on the Isle of Man. The PDA is an independent representative body and trade union and has around 35,000 members across the UK. But it's disputing that the issues being faced both here and in the United Kingdom are solely down to a shortage of qualified pharmacists.
Alison Jones, I'm the Director of Policy at the Pharmacists Defence Association. In community pharmacy, we regularly survey our members every year to understand what the working conditions are like. And in the most recent survey that we did, around 97% of pharmacists expressed concerns over low staffing levels. So this is the staff that are there to support the running of the pharmacy alongside the pharmacist. Only 1 in 10 felt that they were getting adequate breaks, and around 8 in 10 felt that they weren't safe in the workplace due to increased incidence of violence and abuse, which seems to be, on the increase all the time.
Have you seen that on the Isle of Man? Do you have data from the Isle of Man?
Unfortunately, not at the moment. We don't have specific data for the island, but we would be happy to use the research that we do to look into that in more detail.
Has the PDA reached out to the DHSE or Manx Care at all to discuss their concerns?
We will be writing to the department just to highlight our position around shortages and actually share some of the data that we've got around workforce with a view to discussing how these things can improve in the future.
Could you just sort of talk me through what the impact of pharmacy closures can have on communities?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think we all saw during the COVID pandemic, the value that community pharmacy has in communities. And, You know, closures can mean that people who may only take one trip out a week to go and collect their medication can find that the pharmacy's closed, and then they're left wondering what to do about how to access their medicines. So the impact of that can not only be on patients themselves in feeling concerned and worried about accessing their medicines, but the impact can also be felt in the healthcare community as well. So
what do you think about this? If you're struggling to get, I mean, it seems strange that we're at this situation where you have to wait for prescriptions. There's obviously a logjam somewhere, and we can't quite get a straight answer from the pharmacists or from the Department of Health, apart from them saying there are issues in the supply chain. Seem to be problems elsewhere, but what do we do about it? And if you're looking for a prescription, if it's something that you need and rather urgently, what do you do about this? Lots of comment in today, including there was a WhatsApp in from, let me see, 923. Isn't a falling birth rate the best answer to the environmental emergency? Less people, less problems. And Fred dropped a note in. This is 807, Fred. How the heck, can children identify as cats and dogs in school on the Isle of Man? I dread to think what will happen in years to come. This is the Fluffy syndrome. It's people in school, students in school, identifying as cats. And schools accommodating their preferences, shall we say. Any thoughts on that matter? Text, email or call. Just a quick reminder. When I was a child, identifying as an animal was called having an imagination. There we are. Paul Crane, regarding Paul Crane, the latest figures for London is it's 51% immigrants, and the situation is the same in towns. As Paul Crane said, many British couples are only having one or two children, whereas sometimes immigrant families are large, says John. Well, it's a big generalisation, but the problem is it's called sub-replacement fertility. Sub-replacement fertility is a replacement level, if you like. A replacement level fertility in names of what they call a net reproduction rate is exactly one. Because the net reproduction rate takes both mortality rates and sex ratios at birth into account. And bluntly, I think it's per couple to replenish a population of over 1 million, so it's not directly relative to the Isle of Man, but to replenish a population, each couple needs 2.3 children. Anybody below that, and right across Europe, places like Portugal's having real problems, Spain, Italy are all just not having children. So what happens on the Isle of Man, particularly when it's our stated aim to get to 100,000? An OTIN, and this is, we must preserve the old nuisance building, says 068. So much of our history has been demolished already. Douglas Town Centre looks like any ugly inner city area anywhere in Britain. It's lost identity. It's lost character. I just wonder what you would have said to the Victorians when they were reclaiming all that land and putting the promenade out there. I suppose it depends where you draw the line, doesn't it, as to whose particular culture should be maintained. We get the point, though. And Steve said, don't you think people are having fewer babies because it's just not viable? They can't afford to have children with the way the cost of living is going up. Well, it's never been cheap to have children, has it? So we'll see. And a note in, let's have a look here. Just regarding Rob Callister, it's amazing how after a week in the job, Rob Callister is already apologising for Manx Care. At least it is consistent. If Rob thinks the problem is with pharmacies and they're only in the north, he wants to look at the queue outside the door at Lloyd's in Onchan in his own constituency. Blaming it on the lack of pharmacists is an excuse to cover up that the Lloyd's UK dispensing system isn't fully compatible with the Manx Care system, and prescriptions are taking three times where they take to dispense, which you don't necessarily need a pharmacist for, and only check that the dispenser's picked off the shelf. Hence, there's an excuse. Maybe his director of public health can help on the 2 days a week that he's working from across. Well, there is that. But at least Rob Callister says he had a good working relationship with the Manx Cares CEO, which makes us all feel better. But it still doesn't hurry up the prescriptions.
Concerned, confused or curious about climate change? Want to do your part? Then visit netzeromatrix.com, helping businesses and individuals understand the net zero targets that government has set, how they'll be achieved and what impact it will have upon us. Plus, get practical advice and tips for saving energy, the options available for switching to renewable energy technologies and much more. We all need to do what we can. So visit netzeromatrix.com and join us.
For the 10th year running, Laser Mayhem is operating the island's number one Halloween scare maze at Spooky Woods South Barul. Make your way through our massive forest maze where ghosts, ghouls and zombies will be on the prowl. Take the wrong path and you'll be doomed. Operating Wednesday the 26th, Thursday 27th, Sunday 30th and Monday 31st of October. Families from 6:30 to 7:30, then teenagers and adults only from 7:30 onwards. Just £16 per person, including fireside marshmallows. Online bookings only via our Facebook page. Just search for Laser Mayhem. Warning, flashing lights, special effects and roof terrain.
Business Talks is the new podcast series from PwC Isle of Man, bringing you the latest perspectives and knowledge on topics and challenges facing business and society. Episode 1 is out now, talking about all things ESG and how your business can take action.
It's not just a box-ticking exercise. It really does pull through into adding value to businesses. And we see that, you know, you can see companies will find it easier to find new customers.
Business Talks from PwC Isle of Man. Available now from manxradio.com and all podcast platforms. Visit pwc.com/im for more information.
Weekend or workend, you're tuned to the Sunday Chill Out Show with Chris Pearson on Manx Radio.
But I'm not religious, but it's quite divine.
Wrap up for those autumn nights and wrap up your weekend every Sunday evening between 7 and 9 with the Manx Radio Chill Out Show. Email chill@manxradio.com.
Chris Pearson, the Sunday Chill Out.
The Man in Line. Brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com, your one-stop shop for advice on renewable energy solutions and other green initiatives.
By the way, if you're hoping to give up smoking, it is Stoptober Day 3 today. It's 12:30 on Manx Radio. I identify as a sausage, says Kingo on 505. We'll get to the bottom of this whole fluffy thing. And 456 says, are there any cats or dogs identifying as humans? Sue said, I was always a horse at school, but it was just my imagination. I didn't want to be treated like a horse. I just thought I was a horse. Nobody wants babies anymore. They're too busy trying to be cats and dogs. The mind boggles, says Texter 892. What can you say about this latest practice of identifying as cats and dogs, except some people are, I won't say the rest of that, but 373, it's disparaging to those people who are identifying as fluffies. Lloyd's Pharmacy in Annika never ever answer their phones. They just let them ring off the hook. And some WhatsApps in just regarding this fluffy thing. Surely the education department knows that cats and dogs don't go to school or need educating. Get their parents to put them in animal daycare or obedience classes. The world and now the Isle of Man is bonkers, says Mary in Ramsey. Well, it always was bonkers, wasn't it, really? Please describe what we see here. I went for a... This is Nick who dropped me a note. And thank you for the photo, Nick. I went for a long ride from St. John's to Union Mills with my son and partner, and this was at the end. Furthermore, there are rest areas along the way that used to have bike tools and a pump, but no tools now, and the pump is ruined. I'm appalled at the way the lovely area has been mistreated. Thank you for that. If you cycle from St. John's to Union Mills, and he can tell us more about that. The rest areas along the way that used to have bike tools and a pump, no tools now, and the pump is ruined. Do you cycle? Do you have you seen that lately? Then get in touch. Some more messages in, lots of messages. Has the world gone mad, says Liz? It's always been mad, Liz. I think it's one of those things, isn't it? You just have to concentrate on what makes you happy. The government wants 100,000 populations, says Texter 191. They should put some effort into getting... These Manx wards of court should be... They should put some effort in getting all the Manx children that have been removed from the Isle of Man, breaking prohibited steps orders made by the courts. These Manx wards of court should be returned to the Isle of Man. The Manx social services and the court welfare officers have been completely failing in their duties for the best part of a decade. I didn't know about that. If you can send me more details... It will be good to hear more about that. Thank you for that message, Jim. And here's a note in. That's from Alex. Thank you, Alex, for that. Okay. Mel. Hi, Mel.
Oh, hi there. I just wanted to talk about the population. If the government wants to get to 100,000,
yeah.
I just believe we need a lot of investment in the Isle of Man. I'm pretty youngish, I'd say of childbearing age, but, you know, I mean, it is a beautiful island, and it seems like they need to offer more training and resources. For example, the government pay lots of agency staff, such as nurses and doctors, occupational health, physios, everything. So why can't they interlink with universities over here? Why can't you offer the Manx the training? Because I know a lot of people who have come here realize it, you know, doesn't offer that many opportunities for themselves and the family, and end up moving back. And it's cost the government a lot of money to bring them over, the pay package they've had, the moving package, and then they're not staying.
I wonder why that is. I wonder why the government doesn't bite the bullet and put some money into the population here.
I think I need to be in charge, to be honest. You know, I do think some of them are out of touch again with investments. I mean, yes, you've talked about that nuisance place, and I think it's absolutely despicable. And I'm youngish. Why they aren't investing in that place? Why the planning committee has said no? And I find it, I just think there seems to be, I, a lot of old Manx people tend to put in, you know, object about things. They don't seem to like changes. You know, it would make it generates jobs. It would make it look nicer. It looks like an eyesore. And what's going to happen to it? It's going to go to rack and ruins and fall down. But, you know, in regards to population, as well, if things are wrong, if people have fertility issues, it takes a while over here to get seen. And, you know, and then... even to get to the UK to see specialists.
And I think, I mean, is there only one round of IVF that's available on the National Health here, I think?
You know what? It's absolutely disgusting. Again, this is another problem. They only recommend it to people of 37 older. Now, if you have any sort of problems, they don't... and you find out later, you may have to have a few miscarriages and everything. That can... be traumatic to a woman, and it can take years for them to be ready to try. They only pay it up to 37, and it's only one round, you know, of IVF, the government offer.
I mean, that Mel, that whole situation regarding IVF is distressing, and nobody who hasn't gone through it can even imagine what that involves.
No, I just think, you know, I really do, you know, I'd say, you know, I mean, there's far more opportunities. If you can't really be anything, unfortunately, we want our kids to grow, and we say, yes, you know, if you wanted to be an astronaut, or whether you wanted to be a pilot, or to work in a school, there's not a lot of opportunities over here. And it's a job-wise, you know, and I think that's why children tend to go to, well, you know, when they get older, or young adults, when they go to university, they've got a lot of more opportunities.
Interesting. Well, we're talking about money, really, Mel. We're talking about the government investing in Manx youth, young people, and getting them skilled up, as you say, rather than bringing people across. Quite how we get there, I don't know. I don't know who would grab that particular nettle.
Well, I think all of them really need to sit together, and it needs to be, you know, a strategy plan. If they're wanting to get to 100,000, they need people as well, maybe getting people onto a committee, but I'm talking about younger people as well, and people who know, you know, how to get that, you know, like I've said, you know, they need to offer, they call it a university. I mean, it makes me laugh, to be honest, and, you know, I shouldn't say it. Yes, I think they're very good at what they're doing. I'm not saying anything about the Isle of Man University. However, they only offer very few courses, you know, at a university level. They need to offer a lot more to be, you know, and, you know, there's got to be jobs available in them sectors.
So when the government, when Mr. Cannon talks about getting to 100,000 population, does that ring true with you, Mel?
Absolutely not, because, you know, if I'm honest, you know, I do think a lot of people are going across. And I, you know, I've said to young people, I've actually encouraged them, well, you are, there's more opportunities, there's more, you know, yes, you might be paying higher tax, but you can go anywhere in the world, you know, and you can be whatever you wanted to be. It's very stagnated. It's like, for example, if people wanted to get a full-time job in the schools, or if they have young children, it's difficult for employers now. I certainly know, even the government, if you get a new contract, they're only paying 3 months full pay and 3 months half pay. And it's, you know, if you have a child.
Okay.
And now, you know, both parents have to work.
All right, Mel, we appreciate that. Some very good points. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, thanks, then. Bye-bye.
All right, 21 minutes before one on Manx Radio. Jeff dropped a note into me, just says, regard with children wanting to be a cat or a dog, get a grip. We shouldn't be pampering to these whims. Children are there to learn and to be educated, not for fun. There are more important issues to spend teachers' time on. So let's get back to brass tacks education. Why not put the Isle of Man on the map by setting education excellence standards, says Jeff. I'm a working parent of two young children. Whilst my husband and I work full-time and earn a reasonable income, we are by no means well off, says Texter 230, and I would say we're just surviving. But we had to pay £2,000 per month for childcare when our children were smaller, without any government support, while the government offers support to children of parents who don't work. Now, the government should be investing more in working parents who have a good work ethic. I'm not surprised, says Di, that people don't want children anymore. Society's gone crazy. Brainwash young people who aren't allowed to grow up properly, make their own decisions. I was brought up in the real world, thank goodness, says Di. A note in from... I've got lots of people just saying woof, woof to me. Thank you for that. And... let's have a look here. Ali says, is it disparaging to children who want to identify as furries? Can't people see that if this is pandering to cranks who started this lunacy, we shouldn't give them credence and we should have the courage to say what we really believe, says Ali. Is that what you really believe, Ali? Thank you for that. With regard to prescriptions, Dave in Onken, says Andy, one of the contributors to your regularly repeated... reports say that not taking prescriptions as they are struggling, so people aren't taking prescriptions as they're struggling to get them. Well, if you're not taking them, then clearly they're not required. So don't waste doctors' time and pharmacy time by getting unnecessary prescriptions. This won't help the situation. And with regards to the children who think they're cats, clearly this is an opening for child psychiatrists. Bring them to the Isle of Man. It will get us closer to 100,000 population, says Dave. Here's a note in from Ian, who just said, the government on the Isle of Man should be bending over backwards to help young people on the Isle of Man, because we've paid to educate them, we've paid to bring them up, and if we lose them to the UK or Ireland or Scotland or anywhere else, then we are the losers. Surely the government see we should be helping working families with children to keep their children on the Isle of Man. Otherwise, how are we going to get to 100,000, if that really is the aim?
Energy bills rising rapidly. Now really is the time to embrace renewable energy with Manx Solar Electrical, where the latest heat pump solar energy and Tesla Powerwall systems will provide stable and environmentally friendly energy for an investment starting from £10,000. Invest for the future now at manxsolarelectrical.com.
When you want the best,
keep the home fire as boring.
Whatever happens this winter, AA Solid Fuel will be here to keep you supplied with a wide range of solid fuel and wood products, with cash and carry from our depot behind Isle of Man Creamery and deliveries island-wide. Order online at aasolidfuel.im or by calling 234116. AA Solid Fuel, a Manx family firm, here to keep your home fires burning this winter and beyond.
Above deck or below, Harbour Marine Services has all your boating needs in one place. From engine sales and servicing to charts, books, dinghies and trailers, electronics, navigation, ropes, rigging and safety. Over 2,000 square feet of stock to help you stay safe on the water. Call 822995 or find us on Facebook. For all your chandlery supplies, set your course to Harbour Marine Services, next to Castle Down Harbour.
Snuggle up and ease into autumn with Paradise and Gale. We've a great selection of sumptuous sofas, stylish dining furniture, beautiful bedrooms, and much more. With unmissable prices, 0% finance, and immediate free delivery across the island. It can only be Paradise and Gale, Michael Street, Peel. For service with a personal touch and to try before you buy, visit us today or find us on Facebook. Paradise and Gale. You'll love our furniture. You'll love our prices.
Hello, this is Howard Kane, inviting you to join me in the wine cellar for our new podcast, All for Wine. In this first episode, the cellar's wine wunderkind, Chris, chats to me about the basics of wine tasting and the wonderful wines of Garvey.
Nice citrus going on there. I can almost smell something almost a bit like wet flint.
You're tempted, aren't you? Then why not subscribe to the podcast via the Manx Radio site and join us each month? Better still, drop into the wine cellar on Peel Road and try your own bottle. All for Wine with the Wine Cellar Podcast. Download and taste along.
The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com. The Isle of Man's main net zero progress website.
Thank you. At 12:45 on Manx Radio, thanks for everybody who's sending me lots of texts saying meow, meow and woof, woof. Thank you. Physios who travel around the world working in different places get paid to come to the Isle of Man, get free accommodation for 6 months. This explains the high turnover of staff, says I on 406. It'll be interesting to find out how many of the planning committee are Manx. Someone who came over here liked the old-style buildings, says Des. A note in just says, what do we expect with this fluffy issue? We're now paying the price of the face-painting culture, says Dave C. Do you think that's it? Regarding the children wanted to be recognised as cats or dogs, says 428, 100% agree with Mary about getting the parents to send them to animal obedience classes or daycare. Just don't educate them at all. Let them wander the streets and eat cat and dog food out of a bowl on the floor and sit in a box of litter. 428, thank you for that point. Allowing children to go too far into the cat role is unwise, says Christine. It can be dangerous. One of our grandchildren loves cats, and when she was about 4 years old, loved the cat antics. Someone had accidentally dropped some coins on the floor and missed one in picking them up. My granddaughter knelt down, picked up the coin, licked it into her mouth. She swallowed it. and it jammed in her throat. She and her mum went to Great Ormond Street Hospital by ambulance, 2 hours. Both of them spent 4 days there until the coin was removed. Leaving the hospital, the nurses laughed when my granddaughter says, "That was fun, was it not, Mum? Happy result, but it may not have been." This is the story about children identifying as animals and what our schools are doing about it, identifying as fluffies. If you want the population to grow, please tell cyclists and pedestrians still living to wear high vis, says Paula. Too many cyclists at this time of the year aren't wearing high vis. What on earth do they want us to do? How do they expect us to see them? I went to the doctor and said I identified as a pair of curtains. He said I should pull myself together. And Pam says the furries are the same lot as the anti-vaxxers. They just want attention all the while. Ignore them. For special medical advice, ask a doctor or a vet, says Pammy. Well, it is serious. Whether or not you like it or not, this is something that is prevalent nowadays. There are children who are identifying as cats or dogs, and apparently the schools have to deal with it. We're trying to get something from the Department of Education to see what it is they want. And we'll find out more as soon as we know more. Then you will know more. Juwan's on now. Hi, Juwan. What do you identify as?
Well, what did you wake up as this morning, Andy?
Barely conscious.
It's amazing. I woke up as a dog this morning, and the neighbour said I was barking mad, but there you go. I think Bonzo woke up as a pussy, so well, that's about normal. Well, what a good weekend it's been. We had a fantastic concert at the Gaiety Theatre, and there is some fantastic local talent over here, and it's great to see full houses and audiences supporting the arts and getting out and about and enjoying life. So some brilliant shows on this week over here. Well, going back to the identification of animals and all that, I mean, who's in charge of, like, the Board of Education over here? I mean, what actual ministers are in charge of this? And why is this being let carry on the way it is? I mean, it doesn't bear well for the future, does it?
Well, Julie Edge is in charge of this, and this whole thing about, I mean, it's a global thing. I mean, it has come from America. But lots of they call them Generation Z, it is nowadays, but they're identifying as a furry.
Yeah, and you wonder what the end game is when people are left to manipulate this stuff, and it's actually engineered and left to manipulate into society. You wonder what the end game is with that. And it kind of bothered me the other week when I spoke to Claire Barber about identification, or how young do you think it's necessary for people to be able to identify, you know, sexually or transgenderism and that. And you know, when they say, you know, kids should be able to express themselves at a young age, and that's fine if you're in the arts and music and stuff like that, but surely there's got to be limits. You know, there seems to be a big discourse going on at the moment with this.
Juwan, we've had Disney, you know, for since the 1940s. So we've had the Disney and we've had cartoons and what have you. And remember, we do encourage children to dress up in fancy dress sometimes. So I don't want to minimise this, but we have done this for a long time. It's only a short jump. And remember, at the back of all this is social media. And this pervasive social media where people are encouraged. And, you know, we're a society that now tells people to be an individual, be yourself, pursue your dream, do what you want to do, live your life. We can't argue if some kids turn around and say, "I want to be a cat."
Yeah, this is very, very, very true points. I mean, the way that social media is now, it's so invasive in people's lives. And I don't know whether everyone can step back from that now, because everyone is so integrated with their technology and the machines. And yeah, I suppose that's a fair point. I just wonder, you know, whether the island can actually distance itself from this kind of stuff in some way or form. I mean, it doesn't bear well going forward, does it? You know, you're looking at situations now where you've got a possible war situation coming up in Russia, and we are living in a war anyway. But you know, and what does that bode for the future of protecting your land? We've got you've got Putin there with you know, a load of people that are trained in unarmed combat, and we've got a load of furries that want to lick bowls of water on the floor.
Yeah, I don't think he'd see that as valid opposition, would he? A bunch of furries.
No, it's not, is it? You know, if we're not careful, we're going to have an army with, you know, boys with lipstick and skirts on or meowing on the floor. And, you know, I think the Russian leader's going to love that, isn't he? Not a lot of pushback there.
Well, so what do you think Julie Edge should be doing about this?
Well, that's a $1 million question. I think the initiative should be from government is, you know, if you want to do this stuff, then that's fine. You do it in your own life, you know, do it in your own time. I mean, that's you know, you can't stop people doing what they want to do in their own time, freedom of expression, whatever, and, you know, freedom of liberties. But when you're in a school situation, surely there's got to be a standard there of education that you expect from people, like, you know, kids wearing uniforms. It just makes everyone uniform across the whole, you know, bridge of it. So surely there must be something that they can do to say, well, you know, this is not encouraged in school in some way or form. There's got to be something, surely, hasn't there? It can't be that hard.
Well, where do the parents fit into this?
Well, again, we're another generation down the line now. I think someone mentioned before, going on that, we've got a generation of people now who don't know how to cut their cloth. You know, there's people there on the island who've been through hard times before, have been through recessions, and we've got a whole generation of people here, maybe two generations, who've not had to cut their cloth at all. They've been able to get everything that they want, and, you know, leave everything on standby and leave lights on everywhere. And that whole, you know, generation now, it's kind of distorted, isn't it? So, yeah. You know, maybe this whole thing will maybe bring things back in line a little bit. I don't know.
Okay. All right, Ewan, thanks for calling.
See you, Andy.
We appreciate that. And Tommy's with us as well. Hi, Tommy.
Oh, hi, Andy. I just happened to be in the front room just a few minutes ago, Andy, and a chap came past, and he was walking backwards, and he must have gone 30 yards further on. And this little tiny little tot of a boy, and he could barely walk, Andy, and I knew he was going to have a fall. And this idiot was so far away, he wouldn't have been any help. I had to run out in the end and say, would you just watch him, please? You know, I mean, some people shouldn't be allowed to manage their kids, Andy.
And whereabouts was this, Tommy?
In our avenue, Victoria Avenue. And I wonder what he was doing. He was walking backwards, and I swear it was 30 yards. And then this little boy, and he was like, you know, the little cats go in and walk, and they go up on the feet. And my feet's going to go over there, and he strikes his head on the pavement. That's going to be a hospital job just because of this irresponsible twit, whoever it was. And if you know who it was, would you please tell him for me, please?
All right, thanks for that, Tommy. Stop walking backwards to whoever that was. Thank you, Tommy. A note in from Sue that just said, I visited Lloyd's in ShopRite yesterday and I waited for 20 minutes for a prescription only to be told they didn't have the meds in stock. The assistant was brilliant, by the way. They just didn't have the stuff. And the assistant was dealing with several customers at once. As the prescription had come from Mandoc, I couldn't take it to Boots, and Mandoc had to refax it to them. I went in today to collect it whilst on a 30-minute disc zone and had to wait 20 minutes before it was ready. Again, the staff are under pressure. Now I completely understand the pressures they're under, but my issue is during this time, two of the hard-working pharmacists were called away to give out flu jabs. Wouldn't it be better if these were done at set times? You know, for example, 11 until 2, or let's just say 2 until 3. Surely that's the best way to do it. Got a message in from Maxine. She said, Andy, a few weeks ago you were giving away Man in Line tea towels to people who contributed to Man in Line. What's happened to them? Well, actually, I found another box of Man in Line tea towels. So we're going to be awarding Man in Line tea towels to various correspondents throughout the week. Between now and Christmas, I've got to get rid of the whole box of Man in Line tea towels. If you haven't got a Man in Line tea towel, your kitchen certainly isn't complete. Oh, more to the point, never mind tea towels. Remember, the 6th of October this Friday is the deadline for submission of your personal income tax return. If you haven't done it already, then please get it and get it sorted out. Oh, thanks to Chris Quirk producing today. Back tomorrow. WINT.